fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
A camel turnip.
Fighting Cock Podcast, episode 7, and you're here with Flav, Ricky, Chicago Dan, and Jack, and Spoo. Spooky ain't here.
No.
He's not. Who is here?
What the hell?
It's Felonious Filth.
Felonious Filth. Dulcet tones. You can hear it. Very sexy. Very nice.
Try my best.
Yeah, so Felonious is filling in for Spooky because I don't know what Spooky's done, but he hasn't got his priorities straight. I know that.
He's eating more meat.
He's sorting it out, really.
It does. It does need to sort it out. Anyway, I suppose we best move on to what we've been doing this week. I want to start by, not myself, I want to start by moving over to Engineer Al, because I'm pretty much guaranteed that he's had the most exciting weekend of us all. Alex, Engineer Al, what have you been doing?
Well, first of all, I play on Xbox Live, and basically today I had some geezer telling me he was going to come to my house and brick me in the face.
What happened?
Well, because he was I don't know, I was just winding him up.
But, was you playing him on a metal Modern Warfare 2?
Because I'm that fucking cool, man.
So some farmer was going to come and beat you up because
yeah,
you shot him.
Yeah, he's got mates in London, and they're all going to come fuck me up.
Come here, tooled up.
I'm going to get you right.
Going to get you right good.
No, but Saturday night I went out in Finchley Park to the Silver Bullet and had a few yags or whatever. Got chatting to some girl with really fucked up teeth. That didn't go anywhere. So then me and my mates were leaving, me and my mate Attila, and I saw he was talking to these kind of like 40-year-old birds.
50 or 40?
And 40s, definitely 40s.
And like
basically
us.
Ended up saying, right, you two are coming with us. So we were like, all right then. Got to her place, and she had a round bed. I jumped on that. And then she pulled out a bag full of dildos. Dildos, a couple of anal beads or whatever. And yeah, we just got cracking from there, really.
Fucking epic.
Bit of bum licking, you know.
Who on who?
It's like it, well, yeah, to her to me and me to her, really. Just,
as a mutual thing.
Give to receive.
Fair play, fair play.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's an investment.
Literally, stuff dreams are made of, mate. It's absolutely dirt.
Did you get anything up your ass?
She tried
her tongue.
Her tongue. She tongue my bum. It's fucking great.
Dan, do you want to follow that?
What do you got to me after that?
I don't know. You're next in line.
I've done nothing exciting besides starting to work at a new pub. Pub in the park.
Yeah, let's move on.
That's it. Go on.
Ricky.
I haven't done anything exciting earlier, but today... some people might know my missus is, well, she's like 9 months pregnant now. It's going to drop anytime soon.
Yeah, she's due in 5 days, right?
Yeah, due in 5 days, that's right. And people might know, fathers out there, that women go for this stage of nesting where everything has to be right, sorted out. And every time I come back from work, there's everything that's just moved around the house. Like, wardrobes are here, like there's like the beds in the bathroom, just fucked up stuff.
I know.
But today, we had a wardrobe delivered, and to get myself on this podcast and have a few beers, I thought I'll do this wardrobe right quick. What nice wardrobe, just bang it together, that'll be fine. And got the framework done, excellent, put the back on it, brilliant, done the 30 nails round the back, brilliant. And then my missus came in, oh, you're doing a great job, you're doing a brilliant job. And then I turned the wardrobe over and I had nailed everything to the wrong side, and I have now ruined a £200 wardrobe because there's just nail holes all the way through it, and I've fucked it up.
Have you ever had a mare?
I have, and it was all to rush to come down the pub to meet yous lot. So I'm a little bit angry, so it might come off today. But sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jack?
In my sort of perennial search for employment, I've been working in the school uniform shop this week. It's the rush, you know, so also screaming kids, angry mothers, and but one in particular, I had an angry dad who came in, and there were lots of customers in the shop, and we had a ticketing system whereby the customers had to take, I had to stand on the door basically as a drone and hand out tickets to all of these parents coming along. And his dad came, and He didn't want a queue. And he, sort of bit of back and forth, me telling him that it wasn't my decision and all this and that. And he ended up squaring up to me.
And
yeah, well, no, this was a couple of days ago. He ended up squaring up to me.
Yeah.
And then he I can't remember what I said. Yeah, I said, yeah, you don't want to be doing this. This isn't the manner in which to conduct oneself. And he told me to shut my fucking mouth. And then there was all these gasps and all this kind of thing from all these kind of mothers and children.
Yeah.
And I was just, then I sort of got on my indignant high horse. Being, you know, given I'm such a foul-mouthed urchin myself, I was just straight away on the high horse of, well, that's just, that shows the measure of you, doesn't it, sir? You would swear in a shop filled with children. Well, you know, I don't think I need to make myself any more clear, do I? None of these mothers, like, patting me on the back, like, you handled that really well.
It's a good angle, man.
Yeah, and I was standing there, like, I know, you know, I was really intimidated, but I actually genuinely was. The bloke was massive. He had a skinhead, and, like, he was scary. Like, he would have had me.
Sounded like a good week.
But he swore, and he got in trouble. And then his wife had a go.
He wouldn't go down too well on this podcast, would he? What, with the people complaining about are saying the C word.
Oh, that's true.
What C word's that?
Well, it's not Sol Campbell. We know that. We sorted that out last week. But it's the word cunt. And I've got an excellent email. Actually, should we start with what happened on iTunes? Because we've by and large had an excellent reception from iTunes. What did we had one really bad review? And what was it, Jack? You mentioned it earlier.
The man said, you know, that I can't remember his name, but he said we offer occasional insightful chat into the land of Tottenham Hotspur, but our insistence on using the word cunt, which he starred out as well, sort of shows you what sort of bloke he is as well.
All right,
he gave us a
so in response to that, I got another email from a bloke called Warn Dog. Obviously, sounds like a geezer. And his email was longer than this, but I've sort of summarised it a little bit. It says, "Hello there, gentlemen. I just wanted to say that if cunts don't like you guys saying cunt, they can fuck off and listen to a podcast from some other cunt. Come on, you Spurs." So that pretty much sums up how I feel about it. So thank you, Warn Dog. If you don't like the word us saying the word cunt, then, you know, you don't have to listen to it. But
yeah,
the fact is
off.
This is a Tottenham podcast. We're talking about football, and the word cunt comes up over and over again on the terraces. If there were still terraces, the glory days of football. Anyway, Polonius, what have you been doing this week?
Been doing pretty much fuck all. I mean,
more than that, come on, son.
Well,
tell us about yourself, mate.
How did you support Spurs?
Well, at the age of 9, I saw Glenn Hoddle, shirt untucked, 50-yard passes in the sixpence. Yeah. And I fell in love straight away. I mean, I don't like him now, but at the time I just thought, this is heaven. A couple of years later, we signed Paul Gascoigne, got Lineker in, got Chris Waddle in, and fell in love with Spurs ever since. I was a massive plastic up until 3 years ago, and now I actually go to games, so I feel a sense of entitlement when I call Genius a twat. Through various football forums and through Twitter, I've met a whole load of lovely Spurs fans, and it snowballed from there.
And it's led you to the glorious Fighting Cock podcast.
Of course.
10.
It's got nothing to do with anything, but I promise someone I'll give a shout out to Brighton University Boxing Club. If you're going to university there, go to that club. That's all I've got to say.
What the fuck?
You
didn't clear that.
No.
You didn't clear that. You can't clear that.
Yeah, but I had to do it.
The Brighton University
football. He's always like, yeah, do MrLevy.com.
Yeah, but he hosts the website.
Why can't I?
He hosts the website.
So hang on.
He hosts it.
Whatever, man.
So Brighton Boxing Club. Did they punch each other around the ring?
Yeah. What does that mean?
It's got nothing to do with anything, but it's done now. Let's move on.
And the thing is, the bastard thing about this is we can't edit it out because Engineer Al does the editing.
I'm in control.
So, fuck you, Al.
He's the eye on top of the pyramid.
Alright, I haven't been doing anything related to Spurs this week because of the international, but what I've been doing is honing my masturbation methods. And I've devised two new methods of masturbation because I'm 30 and I've done pretty much everything you can do to get yourself off. But I found two new methods. The first, the most interesting this week, is called the campfire method. It's basically when you get your erection between two hands and you just rub it like you was, like, you know when you love, when you're lighting a fire between
lube
a stick.
No lube.
No lube.
Oh shit.
I did it without any lube, but it didn't hurt.
I was
hurt
intriguing, but no.
Jesus.
No, no, no. Add some lube, add some lube. Right, so you know when you're lighting a fire with a stick?
Yeah.
You get your cock between, and then you go for it until climax.
Yeah.
But what you got to be careful of is farting, because if you fart while you're doing that, you go up in flames. That wasn't a joke, you can, thank you. All right.
I'll be that much.
The other one is the method I actually tried out when I was very young, but I brought it back this week, was the... basically what you do is you put your ass to the skirting board. You put your back to the floor and put your legs up the wall, and if you wank you can come in your own face, which is
edge yourself up.
You got to edge yourself up, but the angle is good, the trajectory is good. Edge yourself in the face.
What's the motivation for wanting to come in your own face?
What, you've got to understand.
Get class.
See, I've done this accidentally before and I wasn't all that happy about it.
I can't shoot that far, so
now listen, you've got to understand that if you want to do this to a woman, you've got to understand how she feels.
So you come in your own.
Did you know? Remember in school you used to get covered in PVA glue and it was really satisfying peeling it off. It's like that on your mush.
It's got lots of good moisturising properties.
Never done that.
You fucking barbarians.
But haven't you got a fiance?
Yeah.
What's she think about all this?
Well, she didn't know. She doesn't know. I mean, when she goes to sleep, she goes to bed earlier than me. I've got to do something.
As soon as she goes to bed, goes up against the wall. That's one.
I came back to us for a drink and I've seen him up against the wall.
That's one of the things I've been doing. I do other stuff during the week. All right. Anyway, let's see. I just want to talk to. I don't want to talk to anyone. I want to mention WeAreTottenham.net, who've put a link to the podcast on their homepage. They've got an excellent little forum going. They split away from other forums because they weren't massively impressed with all the gigantic forums, Spurs forums that are available on the net. I'm talking about Come On You Spurs and actually probably just Come On You Spurs, really, Spurs community and stuff like that. They split away from that and they've sorted their own little sort of, what do you call them?
A breakaway forum.
Yeah, breakaway forum. So go down, sign up. Good lads. I've met a couple of them.
Say the address.
Sound geezers. It's weartottenham.net. Cool. And obviously we were featured on spurslatest.com as well. So have a check them out if you need Spurs news. All right, we're going to go on to the transfers. So we signed Scott Parker.
Yep.
And we signed Eddie Bajor.
Yep.
Probably more importantly, we got rid of loads of fucking shit. Redknapp signings, but shit.
I mean, we also got Friedel in as well.
We talked and about Friedel loads.
Of. Yeah, I know. I'm just adding to the point. That
and Friedel Bali.
Yeah,
yes.
And also got this Spanish guy on loan as well.
Falcao, something like that.
Yeah. Who is this guy? Does anyone know anything about him?
I don't know anything. He's in the UEFA Cup squad. Europa League squad. But
he's in it?
Yeah, I saw the squad today and Brad Friedel's not in the Europa League squad.
Oh, that makes sense, though. That makes sense. He's going to play in the Premier League.
I wonder how Gomez feels about that, though. He's just been...
Does he know how I feel every time he fucks up and lets a goal in?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck how he feels, actually, to be fair. Sorry, Fernandes.
That's no problem. No problem, just putting it out there.
Baptism of fire, though.
That's what happens. Come on. Who else?
Well, what? Who we signed? That's it.
Yeah, no. that's basically something.
Well, this brings me to the point that I wanted to make.
Yeah.
Which was, if anyone read or saw any of the listings of the summer transfer spending, kind of league table. Now I know a lot of these figures are estimates because some of the transfer figures are not disclosed and whatever. So this isn't an exact science, but. Everyone can have a guess at who were the top five spenders in the league.
Man City.
This is going to be easy.
Liverpool.
The two Chelsea. Manchester teams, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool.
Yep.
Spurs managed to make the third highest profit in the transfer window of any team.
Everton, who are financially ruined.
Unfortunately for Everton fans, we all feel bad for them somewhat because they...
I don't care about them.
I somewhat feel bad for them in that they always are selling off their best players and not buying anybody in return. So Everton made the biggest profit, but Spurs Spurs made something along the lines of a 26 or 27 million pound profit in this transfer window. And my point, going back to one I've made a few weeks ago, is that we made somewhere between 30 and 40 million in the Champions League. We run our club very fiscally, financially sound. And this 30, 35, 40 million that we made in the Champions League is money that we would not normally expect. So this, you would see this as surplus money in general.
Mm.
If you add that to the 26 or 27 million that we just made in the transfer window, we're plus maybe 60 million pounds.
Yep.
And, you know, the fact is that we were not out spending money. We've gotten Scotty Parker, who I like, cheaply, Adebayor, who I think is going to be good, on a free. We haven't spent
any money. Yeah.
We could have spent 15 million on Gary Cahill, and we might not have a minus 7 goal difference.
The problem for Spurs, I think, Dan, at the moment that we face, is we've got a squad full of, as negative as you want to be, we've got a squad full of very, very good players. Even our worst players. People like Jenas would probably walk into most Premiership sides outside of the top six. And
he's a villain now, though.
So, well, there you go. And I think our problem is that any players that we want to sign now to better ourselves and our current playing staff are players that are going to cost us upwards of 20 mil, 20, 30 mil. But then what comes with that, with players in that kind of bracket, are players that also want wages of 100 plus K a week. And we don't offer wages like that. And that's kind of, I think we're stuck between a rock and a hard place at the moment in that we've got a great squad, but we're not going to pay the wages for the top players.
I mean, the big point I want to make here is about Falcao. A lot of the top clubs are after him. Radamel Falcao from Porto. I think Chelsea are after him. Three of the top clubs are after him. He winds up joining Atletico Madrid, who, let's face it, aren't really going to win anything apart from maybe the Europa League. We could have gone in for him, but if we gave him 120 grand a week, then Modric and Van der Vaart and Eddie King are 120 grand a week, then we're going to end up like Leeds.
That's the point. Really.
So while it's all very well, I spent the Champions League money. It's no point cutting a finger to spite your face.
Who exactly are we going to buy? If Falcao is never going to happen, Rossi has been mooted for many, many
years. What about the one I've just mentioned, Gary Cahill? Would we not be better off right now with Cahill in the back?
Yeah.
I do think though the problem with Cahill is Bolton, they've been holding out for 20 plus mil and he's got 1 year left on his contract.
Yep.
I think we're probably looking at it as
Are
we going to spend that much money? No, we're not going to spend 20 million on a player that's going to be out. And to be fair to him, like, I know the lad is—he's looking good. He's promising. He's this and that. But I still don't think he's fully proven yet as a top draw defender, or at least better than what we've got at the moment.
But all you have to do is look at what Dawson and Cabo have done so far this year, and I think he'd be a great asset.
Cahill to me looks like Leddy King when he was young. He's a similar sort of player, similar build. He's a good defender and can play ball, football. Nearly sounded like Dan then, didn't I? Sorry, Dan.
Racist.
But the thing with, I think...
This is felonious. Felonious Phil.
The thing with... I fucking forgot my point. The thing with Gary Cahill was that none of us are really saying we didn't want to sign him. I just didn't think we're going to be. There's no point being held to ransom with someone with a year left on their contract.
Yeah,
that's what I think the issue is.
Dan,
point for me is that if you're arguing over the difference between 12 million or 15 million, at this point
we're talking about Stephen Pienaar.
It doesn't seem like much. To have a better player.
3 million is not going to buy you a massive player. Stephen Pienaar, for example, costs 3 million, and you know he's played. I know you like Stephen Pienaar, Dan. But
I think he
gets a lot of stick, is basically you're saying. Yeah.
I think they're both looking pretty heated at the moment, so I think to settle this Cahill debate that Felonious and Dan should have a Willy sword fight.
Oh.
Excuse me while I whip this up.
I kind of think Dan, I mean, we're going with stereotypes, but I think Felonious will win this.
Oh, fuck.
You got a big one, have you?
Do you want me to show it?
Yeah. No.
You turned the lights out.
Ricky, go on, what you have.
I'm just going to go back onto the point of that we've accumulated, well, we've got loads of money, and spending a lot of money on a player with the big wages. But the player that we're trying to get is going to be like a Champions League player. And what player is going to be playing for a Champions League team is going to want to come to Tottenham, who aren't in the Champions League.
That's true.
And do we really want a kind of, you know, we've got all this money. Do we really want to spend money for the sake of it, or do we want to get the right kind of player?
We'll get someone in January.
We could have another like Rajak that's going to end up at the lane, just a signing for a signing. Do you know what I mean?
I think we're also, the other thing is as well, is we're worried about Modric going. So I think we're potentially waiting on this big pot of money that if Modric goes, we can get in a big boy.
Fair enough. Quickly, I want to do a round the table because we haven't got time to talk about Parker in depth, but I just want to hear from, very briefly, was Parker a good signing for Spurs, given that Sandro, Palacios had left, Sandro's come in? Dan?
I think he brings a number of things: goals, leadership, and a bit of strength in the middle. I think he's a good signing.
Good. Ricky?
He does bring that, but he's turned us down 3 times, but I'll look past that. And
I'm with Ricky here. I think he's a cunt.
Oi, what, me?
No, Parker.
I'll take you outside.
You're a cunt.
Wait.
We've
established you can't
it.
Say this. You can't say that word.
Sorry. No, you're not.
You're a Campbell.
You're a Campbell, yeah.
You're a flange.
Yeah, so basically you're saying that that Parker turned us down 3 times, but you're accepting him pretty
exactly.
much.
Exactly.
Jack?
Overall, we've got in the Premier League's last season's player of the season, and we've taken West Ham's best player.
That is a glorious thing, because, you know, them dirty little scumbags and hate that. Polonius?
I think he's an improvement on Genus, O'Hara and Palacios, who have gone, and I think he'll do well. But I prefer Diarra.
I would have preferred Diarra, but something Ricky picked up on, fucking 3 times he's turned us down. Now that we're better than him, now that I'm better than him, I don't want him here.
Apparently his dad and he are, you know, Spurs fans.
That's the bollocks.
I knew. Turned us down 3 times to be Spurs, like, and you were being a Spurs fan.
Yeah, so you'd rather sign for Newcastle, West Ham, and what,
Chelsea.
And Chelsea at that time were spending buckloads of money, but anyway, he's here now, so might as well fucking get on with it. All right, let's quickly, we're going to move on to Van der Vaart. His injury, we thought originally he was going to be out for 7 weeks, but there's some news stories today came out that it's probably only going to be 1 or 2 weeks. He's probably going to miss the Wolves game, and we'll be back. But we had an email in from, who is it from?
Daniel Belden.
Daniel Belden. What did he have to say?
Well, Daniel says, and this is word for word, Flav. In the 09-10 season before he came in, we used to bang in goals for fun with the same strike force as before. I used to remember going, and we'd literally open up a defence in 1 or 2 fantastic passes. A couple of goals before half-time, and that was it. Job done. Since then, we've brought in this toad who needs to be accommodated because he's a big signing, and it fucks us right up. I'm probably being very blinkered tactically, but I'm glad he's injured. I can't wait to see a flat 4-4-2 with Addy and Juan, and hopefully a bag full of girls, some penetration, and some end product. If successful, I hope he stays injured.
Actually, I want to hand a round of applause. And for Dan as well, who emailed in.
So, sorry, Dan.
You don't deserve this, but there has to be.
Well, you do. You know, job done. Yeah, his own sentence.
Tally ho. Basically, if I can decipher that, Van der Vaart basically is saying that he's overrated. He called him a toad.
Just jealous of his missus, though, isn't it?
Oh, fuck it, we're all jealous. Oh. One tip. No, he doesn't.
Oh,
shouldn't say that.
Oh, that's,
I remember being recorded.
Distasteful.
Sorry.
we're not going to get a retweet off Van der Vaart now.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's another thing we need to talk about. But anyway, so Van der Vaart, does he fit into the Spurs team, basically? It's something that we've talked about. Oh, yeah. And over time, I think there's a wave of consensus growing towards of what, asking the question, what does Van der Vaart actually do in the Tottenham first 11?
Well, let's not jump ahead of ourselves. Remember, this was a guy who was the leading scorer for Tottenham last year, so you can't go too overboard.
Right.
The problem is that, as we've discussed before, he's a true number 10, and it's hard to fit him. He's a great player that's hard to fit into the Tottenham team.
Jack?
I don't care. I think he's world class. He's world class, and you can't not have you can't complain about having a player like that in your team. He plays in pretty much the same role that Robbie Keane did, and although we're yet to see if he's going to be as prolific over as long a stretch of time. You can't deny he's a better player than Robbie Keane, you know.
Felonious.
I think the real question is here, is do you blame Van der Vaart or Harry Redknapp? Would a more tactically astute manager be able to utilise Van der Vaart and not harm the team?
Well, I think the more tactically astute managers have actually got rid of Van der Vaart in the past. Jose Mourinho, whoever managed Hamburg.
Martin
Jarl.
Yeah, but they didn't get rid of him at Hamburg. They lost him.
Him, all right, fair enough. But
the only person that's got rid of him is Real. And they got in Kaká, so... You know.
Yeah, but like Mourinho gets rid of him and we take him. We think we've got this amazing player and he is amazing. And on his day, he's unplayable and he destroyed Arsenal last season.
He always destroys Arsenal.
Which is glorious. It's glorious.
And he loves us, though.
He does feel like that.
I love the told Arsenal fans to shh.
Yeah,
you know.
Shut your fucking dirty little mouth. But the year before he signed, when we qualified... You're an engineer. Don't tap the top of our bottle. All right. A year before he signed for Spurs, we were flying. Absolutely flying. We've qualified for the Champions League. We had two up front. It was Pav or Crouch and...
Defoe.
And Defoe up front. And then we had Bow on the left, Lennon on the right, and we were flying. And I think that deep down... if Harry knows it in his soul, that we're better as a 4-4-2 team. With Adebayor, who is a, you know, a gooner scumbag, but Adebayor and Defoe up front, you know what I mean? They're going to do the business.
If we can slightly veer off of the first two topics, this is a related question I want to pose to everyone, and it's relative to the transfer market and Van der Vaart's injury / Lennon's apparent injury, which is... what do we think about Giovanni Dos Santos? Is he going to finally get his chance? Because remember, anyone who watches him play for Mexico, he outshines Chicharito and that gooner cunt Mexican down the road.
Valerie.
He is consistently the best player for Mexico, and I think he's got the goods. He generally plays on the wing for Mexico, not up front, not as the number 10.
All right.
But I think, just to pose a question, what do we think? Is he going to get a chance?
Let's quickly deal with it. Flonis.
I mean, I think most Spurs fans want to see Giovanni Dos Santos given a chance. I've never seen him start a game for us and play rubbish. Every game I've seen him start, he's always tried his best, given 100%. However, I think he'd be given a lot more leeway than David Bentley ever got if he was to turn out for us.
That's a very good point.
I think he should be given the chance. He plays a bit more narrow than Aaron Lennon, so that would allow Walker to overlap. Really. So I think he should be given a chance against Wolves. So hopefully he's given a new lease of life.
Why should he be given a chance if he doesn't even knuckle down?
But again, these we've only heard that he doesn't knuckle down from Harry Redknapp. And how many times... Flav, shit, do we hear you banging on about
Ramos,
the bollocks that Harry says?
All right, fine.
And that it doesn't really mean anything. Maybe he doesn't buckle down, but we've never seen that ourselves. We've only ever heard Harry use that as an excuse for not playing him.
And that brings me to my other point. Jermaine Genius knuckles down.
No,
I don't need to elaborate on that, do I?
No, that's... yeah. I get what you're saying about Redknapp and certainly about Genius, but... I mean, he hasn't been good enough for us. Fundamentally, Gio has not been good enough.
When have you seen him get a full 90 minutes?
He never gets full. He's never played 90 minutes.
When you thought he's been poor today. He's been much, much worse than any other option we have in that position. That's never happened.
No.
I don't think so much the same with Dos Santos. I mean, I'm fairly sceptical of him and his ability to perform in the Premiership, but... There was an interesting article, and it has shades of this. There's an interesting article I read from a long sort of standing supporter of this podcast, a guy called Stu Dubb. Follow him on Twitter, @ Stu Dubb.
He runs, by the way, THFC 1882, which is a good blog. Check it out.
And he wrote a piece recently about Kevin Prince-Boateng and his rise to prominence in the Serie A, and basically how he has... just become AC Milan's main man. This is a guy that he couldn't even get a look in at Spurs. Looked quality when he went to Portsmouth. Looks quality for Ghana. And now is one of the leading stars in the Serie A.
That was a great article as well.
Someone that Redknapp let go.
Yeah.
Someone at Redknapp said wasn't good enough.
Let's get rid of this fucking cunt. Get him out of my club. Now.
But then, you know, Dos Santos. But I, the thing is, I don't even know where we'd fit Dos Santos. I'd rather have Cranshaw than Dos Santos.
But I was mentioning him as a replacement.
I'd rather have David Pleat than Harry Redknapp.
I was mentioning Dos Santos as a
we've got to wrap this up though, guys.
For Lennon, who's injured on the right, Van der Vaart sometimes would play out on the right.
Yeah.
Dos Santos is one of those wingers that's a lefty, plays on the right,
yep.
Cuts in. He could fill in there.
And he could switch positions.
And he can
well.
And he can make things happen.
And he makes a mean burrito.
But fundamentally, he's not. He's
Come on.
He's a big fan of enchiladas. All right, let's wrap this up because he's never going to play for Spurs. Don't. I mean,
he's not.
It's not going to happen.
I think he needs a chance.
I want him to.
All right, but we're going. We're going to cut for a break here. Thank you.
Crooks is up ahead, but he might be offside. And that maybe was why Galvin was reluctant to release it. Now he can find Villa. And he can really stab them. Going all the way. And Villa! 3-2 to Tottenham. Two goals in the game for Villa. And Spurs.
All right, we're back from our break and we're going to go straight into a game of killer. I'm going to start with Felonious. To give Dan a break, I'm going to give Felonious. You've got to get this right. So Dan doesn't have to be the first person out every week. All right, so this is a game of killer. So which London club's youth team did Jermaine progress through before leaving them in July 1999?
Charlton Athletic.
That is correct.
Felonious. You're in.
Yeah.
You're in. Get in. Dan,
yeah.
From which club did Spurs buy Jermaine?
Ooh.
First time.
Four.
London club, isn't it?
Three.
West Ham.
Ooh. Fucking Dan's got one! He's only got one! Gotcha! How does it feel, Dan, to get a question on killer right?
Fuck off, Flo.
Alright, fair enough. In which year did Jermaine arrive at White Hart Lane?
Fucking hell, mate.
Just don't worry, no one's coming to get you.
2007.
No, 2004. Ricky is out of killer.
Yes!
Now you get Dan still in. Ricky's gone. Against which Scandinavian country did Jermaine make his full international debut for England?
I believe it was Denmark.
The answer is Sweden.
Oh, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Like, it's the wrong answer.
Fuck that, blub.
All right.
Blub.
Hey, two kickbacks are up.
Felonious, this is a tricky question here. Can you recall the country who Jermaine scored his first full international England goal against on the 9th of September 2004?
Poland, isn't it, bluff?
The answer is Poland!
Serious,
man's got
knowledge.
Man's got skills, innit?
You're shit off.
That's all you need to know.
Fuck.
Rick. Dan, man. With which club was linked... with which club was linked with a possible move prior to the closure of the transfer window in January 2005?
You're missing a lot of words there.
I'm not. Yeah, I've read it word for word. With which club was... Basically, which club was Jermaine Defoe linked to in January 2005? This is a tricky question. July. I'll give you a clue. It's a London club.
A London club.
Three.
Chelsea.
Chelsea is the right answer!
I'm
going to run out of questions.
This is the Willy sword fight.
Yeah,
it really is. All right. It gets a bit trickier. Jack. Trunk.
I'm out.
He's out.
Oh, you're out. It's just Felonious and.
This is what I'm saying.
Willy sword.
Oh. Shit.
Get your dicks out. All right. What is Jermaine's 2004 or what was Jermaine's 2004-2005 squad member at Spurs? Squad number at Spurs.
18.
Fucking hell! What's going on? What is going on?
I'm a machine.
You are.
Jermaine Defoe was born
this week.
That's easy.
This is mental.
This is mad.
This is like exciting.
Dan. It's on you, mate.
Dan.
Can you recall the seaside club This is easy.
This is easy.
Piece of piss.
Can you recall the Seaside club where Jermaine spent 7 months on loan during the 2000-2001 season, scoring 19 goals in 31 league games?
2000-2001?
Which Seaside club?
Piece of piss.
You've got 5 seconds, Dan.
Five.
Four. Three.
Between Portsmouth and Southampton.
No, it's neither one of those. Neither one of those. Lonies, do you know the answer?
Bournemouth.
Show. He comes in and fucks all of you. He fucks you all in the arse.
He ain't no prick.
Not only that, it's his first time on the show, exempt from prick of the week. He comes here, shows you what a king cock really is.
Yes.
That's a big fucking penis right there. And he showed you all.
He's just whipped it out for the listeners.
He has. So we're going to go on to some feedback. Well done, Flonius. By the way, you as a star.
Well done, mate. Superb.
We're going to go on to a bit of feedback. And I think we're going to start with Dan first, I think.
All right, we got an email from Dan Tolls. It says, guys, Neil the Cabbie is spot on. Teams or supporters that revel in rivals' losses show a massive inferiority complex. We're not inferior to Arsenal. As we know, our squad is better. So stop putting Arsenal losses as equal to or more important than a win for the mighty Spurs, even if they do lose 8-2. I think we've gone over this already, and it's bollocks.
It is bollocks, but can I just address that very quickly? That the person who wrote that is from America, and I've got no problem with Spurs gaining fans all over the world, but they don't know what it's like to grow up around tons and tons of Arsenal fans ramming it down my throat. And they say that the Spurs squad is better than the Arsenal squad. The fact is, over the last 20 years, it hasn't been better. And I've been made to suffer for that fact. So now, if Arsenal lose 8-2, or if they lose 2-1 to Chelsea, if they lose 1-0 away at Bolton, I'm going to love every fucking one of that 90 minutes. Every single one of those.
I agree with that.
So everyone who doesn't understand what why reveling in your main rival's result is like, then they don't really understand what it's like to support Spurs. For me, I know that's going to rile some people.
See, the thing is, I look at that reveling in their loss as completely separate from our own game that day. We weren't reveling in it because we'd done poorly and they did worse. Only their result itself was worth ridicule.
Yeah.
Our game was a completely separate matter. We were all incredibly upset about the game. And didn't take any more pleasure in their loss than we would have if Spurs would have smashed Man City, but we didn't do that. It was a separate issue.
Good. Anyone got anything to add? Basically, we all hate Arsenal. We hope they get relegated.
The bell has tolled on you, Mr. Toll.
All right, Ricky, what you got, mate?
This is from Benjamin Smith from Australia. I can't do an Australian.
Go on, give it a go. Just give it a go, go on.
I'm not going to
go on.
Go on, Rick, a little one.
Go on, a little twang. Go on, just give it a go, mate.
No, I went to do it anyway.
Come on,
it's American, just shut up, man.
Let him go.
I'm proud to say that I have met Chicago Dan. He's American.
Hey.
Yay. I love your show. My question is thus. Flav, you said that after the first two games, we can finish top four. However, the idea of being a top four club sickens you. Explain your thoughts. At what point does glory and success meet?
That's quite profound.
Yeah.
I don't think I've read that through that question. All right, this is how I feel. Look, it's good if Spurs finish in the top four or finish top or finish second or third. That isn't my issue. My problem is the kind of sort of fans that come along with a successful club. And you look at every other successful club in the league, Man United is a sterile, horrible club to support. Their away fans are decent. Arsenal is just a horrible, horrible club built purely on the fact that they're a successful team. If they start failing, you'll see how much their fans support
the Emirates is already not selling out, mate.
Yeah, it doesn't sell out. Chelsea are a successful club. And they've got no loyalty. They've got no waiting point.
Yeah, great prawn sandwiches.
Oh, they're awesome.
Great
prawn sandwiches. They're awesome.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying, is that the successful clubs breed nothing more than what Sky Sports want a club to be or what a chairman wants a club to be. A football club, for me, isn't about success. It's about going there and watching the game and enjoying it, you know how I feel. I mean, if you've listened to the previous podcast, you know how I feel. Glory is about watching that team and enjoying when we pull off an amazing result, but being there to the end when we get smashed as well. That's what glory is about. It ain't all about fucking sitting there and
still singing,
enjoying and still singing. That's exactly what Engineer Al just said, is about singing when you're 4-0 down, like we did at Old Trafford
and at Fulham
when we were 4-0 down last season. It's singing your heart out no matter what. And every wanker who's listened to this who doesn't want to sing, they'd rather moan and whinge and bitch
and boo
when Spurs are playing alright, just fuck off. I'd rather only 3 or 4 of you listen to this show than listen to one cunt who boos the Tottenham team. That's pretty much how I feel.
I'd say just following on from that, Gal, is the fact that I come from Chessington, and I come from a place
World
where
adventures, man.
Well, yeah, there you go. It's and I've been, it's a big Chelsea area, and I've been called after last year. Well, no, the year before last, even a glory supporter for even following Spurs, but I have now seen, and this is just walking the streets in Chessington, two Man City shirts.
So there you go.
And that tells you the whole story of what you're saying.
That's it. Felonious, what are you going to say?
I was saying earlier on, it's a bit like, would you rather finish in the top four or win the FA Cup? You know, it's the same thing. It's like, do you want to reach Champions League and reach quarterfinals, or do you want to see Spurs actually win a cup? You know, I mean, it's like the players who play for Man City, they don't feel anything for their club. It's just a case of them earning loads and loads of money. I don't know if I really want that at Spurs. I'd rather our success be organic.
Fuck Man City!
Although...
But you saw what Man City did. You saw what Man City couldn't fill their ground before they got their money. They couldn't
fuck them, they're shit. I fucking hate them.
Yeah, fuck their couch.
Fuck their couch.
Fuck your couch.
Fuck your couch. Buy a new one, you rich motherfucker. if you haven't seen, is it Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, Chappelle.
And
Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
I'm Rick James.
Right, just
cocaine's a wonderful drug.
One hell of a drug. Just YouTube Rick James. You understand what we're talking about. Anyway, let's move on. Jack's.
I've got one.
Doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, Russell. Your surname's Child, so I'm going to read it in a creepy voice. Purely because your surname's Child. He says,
"Hi, guys. Just stumbled across the podcast and think it's great. Have spent my days off listening to all the episodes. When Howie goes at the end of the season, assuming he gets the England job, will he be remembered as a Spurs legend? Who should replace him?"
That sounds like, actually, it sounds like Levy off of To Trump. That sounded like...
No, that's a Levy voice.
That's Levy voice. Forgive me.
Harry won't go down as a Spurs legend.
Hang on. Felonious has got a very similar question to that. Read what you got, Felonious, as well.
Okay, this is from Gareth Patterson, Down Under. "Love the podcast, lads. It's time to address this. If and when Harry goes, who should replace him? For me, it has to be David Moyes."
Okay, so we've got two questions there. Will Redknapp go down as a legend?
No.
And hang on. And if Ricky's going to go, Ricky's going. But if he doesn't, and if he does leave, who will replace him? Rick, what are you going to say, mate?
No.
He won't go down as a legend.
I was going to say, no, he's not going to go down.
Why won't he go down as a legend?
Because a lot of the fans are divided over him. I don't think they feel that he's an actual... I don't feel they feel that he's Tottenham because he separates himself in interviews as... Like we touched on last week, I've never had a 5-1 defeat, or I've never had a defeat like that.
So if you haven't listened, Redknapp mentioned... Talked about the 5-1 defeat at Man City, about him. He's never had a 5-1 defeat at home. He's never experienced that. Like, the fans weren't there. Like, I didn't pay fucking 60 quid to go and watch that shit. Sorry, Rick.
And he always says they as well.
Yeah.
I've given them. So I think there's a massive divide with the Tottenham faithful over Harry Redknapp. He won't go down as legend.
Jack?
I think of... Just to separate from that, play devil's advocate, of the modern era, Harry Redknapp has been our best manager. You know, in terms of results, black and white, what will go down in history, people that weren't living in the moment, he will go down as a legend. But I think as a replacement, I would like to see Owen Coyle. I'd like to see Owen Coyle, because if anyone can get Bolton Wanderers playing football, then they deserve a shot at a good club.
Fair enough. You said,
according to Zonal Markin.
You said black and white.
Yeah.
He's a better manager. He's marginally better than Ramos, as we discussed last week.
I was in Champions League, though.
Playing easier teams with a better squad.
And in fairness, Martin Jol would kick the shit out of both of them.
Oh, that's what I'd like to see, a cage fight between Martin Jol, Harry Redknapp. Can you imagine Harry Redknapp in a fight? He's a man. He's actually a man.
Just be wobbling and shit, man. Be like it's a fucking creosote, you know what I mean?
He ain't got Parkinson's, but imagine him walking down the street, it looked like he had, because his face...
Just be saliva going everywhere, you know what I mean? Just slobbering and shit.
Gone off pumpkin, isn't he?
He's a disgusting man. I think this pretty much answers the question of whether or not he's going to be a legend, Dan.
But then as to the replacement...
Yes, exactly. So who would you have? Realistically.
I don't see anyone much better than a David Moyes.
That's a good shout. David Moyes is a good shout.
Remember what David Moyes has done. With so little
resources, been shot to pieces.
Didn't we just discuss the fact that Everton sold £30 million worth of players and bought nobody?
Right,
and yet he keeps them in the top 10.
Jack keeps saying boring football.
He does.
Hang on,
plays anti football.
Right. Harry Redknapp, the Spurs team under Harry Redknapp paid the third most long balls last year.
Crouch, don't it?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
And Michael Dawson.
And three of the five most long ball playing players were Michael Dawson, Asu Okoto, and
Huddleston.
And Huddleston. Yeah. Those were the three of all players in the Premier League. So it's a bit of a fallacy that Spurs play great football. We've got great players that can play well on the ball.
Well,
that isn't down to baggy
pace. This ammunition, mate.
Well,
the fact is, I don't want this fallacy to go on about Redknapp any longer. I want us to tell the truth about him. He's a bollock.
Did you see that one Bolton goal? Did you see the one Bolton goal last year? I think it was against Stoke they scored.
Yeah, it was Barcelona.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was like Barcelona, Argentina against the Serbs or whoever it was.
So basically, it was Owen Cole or David Moyes.
Owen Cole.
I think David Moyes is useless of money. I mean, apart from Tim Cahill, I guess maybe Leighton Baines at a stretch. I don't know if he's any good in the transfer market. Sahar. So I'm not a massive fan of him. And Saha was made of glass anyway. The people I'd like to replace Redknapp would be Owen Cole.
Yeah.
Gus Poyet. I actually like Gus Poyet. I think he plays very good football. And I guess best case scenario would be Ancelotti and Ray Wilkins.
I reckon we should manage.
Where did Ray Wilkins come from?
Because they're a dream team, isn't it? It's a bit like Brian Clough and Peter Taylor back in the day.
When Ray Wilkins left Chelsea, and he doesn't have any affiliation with Chelsea, when he left Chelsea, they did fuck up massively. So
he doesn't have an affiliation, by the way. That's his first club.
I thought he was QPR.
No, he played for Chelsea. He was their captain at the age of 19. Just thought I'd point out.
Chin out, stay out.
Sorry. I'll stop talking.
I'm not sure I want Polonius back on this podcast.
No, I do.
He's a bit sassy, isn't he?
Fucking fucks up the old killer just with some actually right answers.
Yeah.
He does well.
Knows what he's talking about.
Knows what he's talking about.
What's all that about?
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen.
All right, so basically we're talking about Owen Cole or David Moyes.
Yeah.
Or Angelotti.
Big Sam.
Right, oh God.
He's very funny on Twitter.
Yes.
Or Jose.
Anyway, very quickly, I want to say thank you to Windy, of Windy's blog, who focus a lot on
kids.
In
he loves kids.
Shirts.
Windy loves kids.
Windy does love
kids. Kids in shorts.
Not as much as Jack, though.
What? Hang on. Where's
Tag
that
team.
Come from?
You got a school uniform job, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Man's got to pay the bills.
Don't act like you landed that job by accident.
Windy.
Where on the doll did Jack touch you?
Windy went down to watch Spurs play Inter in the next gen competition, which is all of the best teams in Europe playing their under 19s against each other. And our second game against Inter Milan, we smashed.
Smashed him.
We smashed Inter Milan 7-1. 7-1 at Leighton Orient's ground.
Inter.
Exactly. Inter Milan, the team that beat us at San Siro last year.
Yeah, but what did we do at White Hart Lane?
Oh, fucking
smashed him.
We smashed him.
Well, anyway, you understand again the sore bottom.
We did. He pointed out, Windy pointed out three players that we should look out for in the future. The obvious one was Suleiman Koulibaly. And he said, my first glimpse, and he was pretty much what I expected, an enthusiastic live wire striker who never stops pressing and harrying. A good finisher with good technique, but a tendency to take shots when perhaps he shouldn't. So that's pretty much what we expect from
Koulibaly. So Defoe Martin.
Is that...
yeah, that's pretty much
the Suleiman Spurs Twitter account, is that his account? Or is
no,
it
that's
someone
not. Like... That isn't correct.
The real one has surfaced, but I forget the address now.
It's Koulibaly94.
That's it.
That's it.
Most of his tweets are in French, that kind of.
Yeah, so it's pointless joining him. Just sell him. Anyway, the other one, two surprise ones I've never heard of, was for you guys to look out for, is Alex Pritchard, who got the man of match for Windy. He scored two, was involved with most of the good play, played off the flank first half and found pockets of space that caused Inter all sorts of problems. And the other player who I've never heard of was Massimo Luongo. Luongo.
He's got a Twitter account and all.
Has he? Well, apparently he's a class act. He uses the ball well. Has great defensive abilities. Very strong and robust. Sounds a bit like Sandro.
He's an Aussie as well.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's Australian.
Yeah.
He's going to be shit. Oh. Brett Emerton's the best player they've ever produced. Do you know what I mean?
Big fat Mark Viduka.
Big fat Mark Viduka.
Alright. Okay, so that's pretty much it for the Fighting Cock episode 7. I'd like to say please email in again. It's thefightingcock@gmail.com.
Even if Jack does a stupid voice of your email. Still worth
it. So what do you mean stupid? I'm a professionally trained voice actor.
There you go.
It's a rite of passage to have your email read by the truck.
It's a rite of passage. Florence, you wanted to have a couple of shout outs. This is your right as a guest.
Okay, I've got to do a few shout outs. First of all, to the TOP forum. Also to my mate JD, wobbly_desk on Twitter. Also cunt69, who's off to. He's off to Greece next week to watch the mighty Spurs play.
Come on, you Spurs!
Go on, Tony!
Wish him all the best. And also, a good mate, Rock Trumpet. All the Twitteryids out there who are following me, thanks for your support today. And that's about it, really.
And I think Jay Farr, was it, that asked for
a
shout out from Jay Farr.
Jay
Farr, F-A-U-G-H, on Twitter.
Jack, are you going to talk about the Twitter?
Yeah, I quickly want to give it... I want to remind you all, we've got our Twitter mission on. We still want as many retweets as we can from Tottenham squad members. We've tried so far to get Aaron Lennon on board by saying, come on, blood, allow us a retweet, cuz. Beg you, mans. We had boom, 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 nom, 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 nom. That's the sound of Tom Huddlestone eating his ready break in the morning. Give us a retweet or I'll make a YouTube compilation of you with a tuba soundtrack.
He hasn't
given us a retweet. Give us a retweet, you fat bastard. And I'm allowed to say that.
Tom Huddlestone,
we love you, man.
Don't make us destroy you.
Just
give us a retweet. Give us a fucking retweet.
And French.
Yeah. Because it's getting serious. You've been sent at least 100 retweet requests, and you're still not doing your.
Jakey boy's done it, and he's not touching the first.
Right,
thing.
Right. We got a little list of people that have done it. So Jake Livermore done it.
Good lad.
Stephen Pienaar gave the Fighting Cock.
What?
Yes. Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Stephen Pienaar gave the Fighting Cock podcast a retweet.
From who?
I don't know who did it. Someone, thank you, whoever did it. I can't remember your name.
I can't remember it. Was either.
But thank you.
Say in a South African accent, from.
I wasn't a big fan of the apartheid.
That's Irish.
I got it. Pyrotechnics.
What your property?
All right. But anyway, Stephen Pienaar got it. And one more, Tom Carroll.
Who's that?
Who's fuck? That?
Oh, Tom Carroll done it as well.
Yeah, Tom Carroll retweeted the fighting cock.
I got a retweet off that silly main Spurs, the fake cunt.
Yeah.
Why would you pretend to be a 16-year-old boy? Whoever you are, it's just a fucking disgrace.
Well, are you telling me you haven't pretended to be a 16-year-old boy on the internet?
Never.
What?
You're weird, mate.
Why?
Just no. No.
It opens up a whole new world of fun.
What else is in
there? There's so much fun to be had.
It does.
Be 16 again. You could relive your life. Finally.
ASL.
ASL. How long has it been since someone said ASL to you?
I say all the time.
ASL. ASL. All right.
That's 5555 for cyber.
See, we're all laughing. We know exactly what you're talking about. Jack, Dan doesn't though. He doesn't, and that makes him a good human being. And we're all fucking scumbags.
That's right.
Anyway, I just want to say a quick thank you. This is a real thank you to a man named Mark Case, who last Friday I got an email from this man saying, "I don't want this to sound a bit stalkerish or a bit weird, but I've kind of built you a massive website." And I clicked on the link and there's a massive... He's built an entire Fighting Cock podcast domain website.
Name, legend.
The domain name. You can look at the domain name now. It's thefightingcock.co.uk. There's just a loading page at the moment, but in a week or two, you'll be able to see and...
Fucking big round of applause.
Yeah, yeah, cheers.
Thank you. Thank
you. Nice one,
Queso.
Queso, mate. Queso, is that his name? Queso.
In that cheese in Spanish.
You ledge.
Queso.
Is it? I don't know. But he's a legend. And he's put a massive amount of work in for the podcast he's now a part of the team. So other than that, we've got the facebook.com.
John Spencer.
/
Oh, fuck yeah.
All right,
John Spencer.
Okay, hang on. Facebook.com.
Big thank you to John Spencer.
Facebook.com/ The Fighting Cock, of which John Spencer is a massive fan.
Al's going to get it out now. He's got his Facebook on now.
If anyone isn't a fan or hasn't liked our Facebook...
Fuck off my news feed!
if anyone isn't a fan of our Facebook page, you should be, because if not only for the fact that there's a man called John Spencer who hates us, absolutely hates us, and not only hates it, he's very, very vocal about what he does.
Read him out.
What he does.
I mean, it's what he said. Basically, he said, "Wouldn't be so bad if any of you actually knew anything about Spurs, you deluded fucking idiots. Call yourself Yids. You no idea why LMFAO says it all. Just boring, fucking useless cunts."
Basically, that's what John Spencer thinks about the Fighting Cock. Which takes us on to a good point, which is the prick of the week.
Who was it?
It was Vancouver Spurs.
Oh yeah,
Vancouver Spurs won prick of the week.
The Seal Clubbers, was it them?
Yeah, sick.
The Seal Clubbers, yeah. Basically,
maple syrup, clubbing seals. They won.
Yeah, you're a cunt.
Who ended up
Vancouver Spurs though?
Top amongst the crew then.
None of us. I don't know. I didn't even check. Was it you?
I think so.
Chicago Dan won the unofficial prick of the week.
So I've just seen something else from John Spencer.
What's John Spencer been saying?
He said, "Just can't stand people that chat what they feel others want to hear to attempt to be popular. That sucks."
Right, you're
a twat, mate. You're a fucking bellend.
If you want to hear more from John Spencer, have a look on our Facebook
page.
You're
entitled to your opinion, though, to be fair.
Not if you're a cunt. Actually, if you're a cunt, then you are entitled to your opinion. Anyway, that's it.
Who's in for prick of the week?
This week...
I'm exempt.
He's exempt.
Felonius is making a point that he's exempt, as if he's going to get it anyway. He's been a nice person. But, yeah, so we have a little look on her Facebook page. You'll see who's in for the prick of the week.
I can count on one vote. Is that one geezer that always votes me?
Daniel Gold.
Daniel Holden.
Daniel Holden,
who emailed in a couple of times.
No, that geezer votes for me, I thought.
No, he hates engineer Al.
Even though this is the most I spoke, previously I was just gone, ooh, that's it.
All right, that's it, lads. That's the end of the Fighting Cock, episode 7. Come in next week for
episode 8.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Love you. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting.
It's the fighting. Clock. 9-11. Oh, I agree, mate.